Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Good evening, everyone. Just want to give you guys some background as to why I'm up here this evening. A while back, in the previous quarter, we were going through Titus, Philemon, and Jude in class. And when we approached Titus 1:5, where Paul writes to Titus, leaving him there in Crete, to appoint elders in every town, we spent the class discussion on the authority of the eldership. And I thought it was important to discuss that with the class, because a while back, started hearing about and reading some about this idea that the elders in the New Testament church were really not the elders that we have in the 21st century church. The idea being that because we are westernized, or because we have this corporate structure, that we have superimposed that on the church, and the way we carry out elderships now is not the way the New Testament was has instructed to do it. So, like you, I knew what the Bible said about, you know, the qualifications of elders and all that stuff, but I just decided that I was, for myself, going to go through and really dig in to the role the elders played throughout the book of Acts, and what we read about elders in the New Testament letters as well. So put that together, and we discussed that in class, and after talking with two of our elders who happened to be in class that day, Lewis and Tony, I actually requested to give this lesson. They did not ask me to present it to the church. Glenn didn't ask me to present it to the church. Paul didn't ask me to present it to the church. And here's why. I think it's important because it's out there. It's, you know, call it a symptom of the postmodern age. Call it a millennial way of thinking. And when I use the word millennial, sometimes I think that gets a little bit of a bad rap, because I don't necessarily mean anyone that is the age of a millennial, but just the millennial way of thinking. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but I think it's important because it is out there. And not only do we need to know what the scripture teaches about the eldership, we also need to be able to say that, whether it's here at West Huntsville or any church family that we are members of in the future, we need to be able to say that this is what the Bible says and this is why we do what we do. So we're going to talk tonight about the authority of the eldership and this idea that has come around different writers, you know, different bloggers and things like that. It really comes down to two questions that need to be answered. One revolves around the Jerusalem meeting. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. In Acts 15, you know, what we refer to as the Jerusalem meeting or the Jerusalem council, you know, the decision that was reached, were the elders involved as a separate group of decision makers, or was that decision reached by what's called elder-led consensus? And the idea of elder-led consensus is that the elders are not making the decision. The elders are helping the congregation reach a decision. Okay? So that's the first question that we need to address. The second question is, were the elders in the first century church actually meant to have governing authority, or were they just meant to be simply good examples for the brethren to follow? Because the other part of this, call it philosophy, call it argument, call it debate, whatever, the other part is that, you know, the New Testament teaches that elders are simply to be good examples, that they're not really meant to be a governing body in the church. They're simply meant to lead by example, and that's where their influence and their authority stops and is limited to. Okay? So that's kind of the premise, and that's what I think is important for us to go through. So what we're going to start with, we're in the book of Acts, and I encourage you, if you can, to follow along. But I've got the relevant scriptures. At least I hope I've got the relevant scriptures up on the screens. So we're going to start in Acts 11, verse 30. You will find the word elders before Acts 11. Okay? But the best I can tell, before Acts 11, when we read the word elders, it's referring to the elders in the Jewish church, okay? The elders of the Pharisees and the scribes and things like that. Acts 11, verse 30 is the first reference of the elders in the New Testament church, okay? So here we have, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So just for a little bit of context, this is when the prophet Agabus prophesied that there's going to be a famine throughout the land, and they decide that they are going to send relief to the brethren in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So the first time we read about elders in the New Testament church, we see a distinction made. We see that the elders are a distinct, separate group. They could have just sent that relief to the church, but they sent it specifically to the elders. And I hope you will agree with me that there are no coincidences in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit was very specific about his wording. Okay, Acts 14:23, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This is right after Paul had been stoned, drug out to the city, left for dead. Okay, he goes right back in. Okay, the churches are growing, so they had appointed elders for them in every church. Now, I am not a Greek scholar. I'm not going to pretend that I know Greek, but thankfully we have tools and we have online study tools and things like that that can help inform us as to what the Greek there is. So the Greek word here for elders is presbyteros, and we are very blessed in a congregation that probably most of us already knew that because of the teaching that we receive from the pulpit and the teaching that we are the beneficiaries of in our Bible classes. So this Greek word here, presbyteros, is older or senior or elder. I hesitate to call it a generic term, but that's basically what presbyteros is, an older person. Now, if we stopped there, we could say that, and they did so, sending it to the older members by Barnabas and Saul, if we stopped there. Okay, but one of the wisest things I've ever heard about Bible study came in a Bible class when, years ago, I was the teacher, and I probably should have been the student, because we were talking about Bible study, and I hope I don't embarrass Mike Dacey, but it was his comment that said, I can't take one thing the Bible says about a subject, I have to take everything the Bible says about a subject. Okay, so we can't stop here. Okay, let's continue on. Acts 15, we get into what we refer to as the Jerusalem meeting. Okay, and we know what that was about. We know that the Jewish Christians were trying to mandate circumcision on the Gentile Christians. Caused a huge hubbub. Okay, so Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. Now, there is, again, among those who subscribe to this idea that it was elder-led consensus, they hone in here on the Jerusalem meeting, okay? So in verse 15 too, okay, they went to the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. Verse 4, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. So who were they welcomed by? They were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders. Okay, so it's obvious that the church was part of the welcoming, and it's important to note that there are three separate groups of people listed there. The church and the apostles and the elders. Okay? But as we continue to read in chapter 15, verse 6, the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. Now, if we pause right there for a second, and we just look at what's going on here, okay, it's not hard to imagine Paul and Barnabas being greeted by the church, by everyone there. It's also not hard to imagine that when a decision has to be made about this weighty issue, that the apostles and the elders meet together to deliberate and discuss what's going to go on. Okay, now, and as we continue, I know I'm bouncing back and forth. I don't trust my eyes to read that far back there, so I have to read up here. Okay, we continue in verse 22 and 23, and this is one of the key verses here that's being used as support for this elder-led consensus argument. Beginning in verse 22, then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Okay? So, as you know from the Jerusalem meeting, they were together, they were debating. James finally stands up, and of course I'm paraphrasing, says, this is what I think we should do. Okay? And that was actually what they decided to do. So, verse 22 reads, then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church. That's how the ESV renders it. Okay? And as we go to verse 23, the brothers, both the apostles and the elders. Okay? So there's a little bit different wording depending on what translation that you are, that you're reading. And I think it's important that when an issue like this is being discussed and we're really trying to get to the truth of the matter, when one translation appears to support your idea, but another translation appears to refute your idea, you've really got to study, really got to look and compare back and forth. So the New American Standard renders the phrase, the brothers, both the apostles and the elders. The New American Standard renders it the apostles and the brethren who are elders. Okay? The New King James renders it the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. Okay? So that's verse 23. So if we take verse 23 by itself, okay, and we say, well, it's obvious that the church, the apostles, and the elders all came to this decision together, because that's what it says. But let's back up to verse 22, because I think 22 speaks directly to this idea, okay? Because people will point to verse 22 and say, well, it seemed good to the whole church, and the apostles and the elders and the whole church. That tells you that the apostles and the elders and the whole church came to this decision. But you've got to ask yourself, what seemed good, okay? And bear with me, a little bit of sentence structure question here. What seemed good to those people? It seemed good to choose men to send them. It wasn't the decision that they came to as a group. What seemed good was to send Paul and Barnabas, with the results of the meeting with between the apostles and the elders, to determine what was going to be done about the idea or about the mandating of circumcision on the Jewish Christians. Okay, but again, aren't we thankful that the Holy Spirit helps us out if we are just intellectually honest enough to let the Holy Spirit help us out? Because if we're confused about that, Acts 16:4, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. Okay? So who made the decision? Well, we know that when they arrived in Jerusalem, they were greeted by the church, by the apostles, by the elders, Acts 15:2. Acts 15:4, the apostles and the elders gathered together to discuss the matter. Acts 15:22, it seemed good to the apostles and the elders and the whole church to send men, to send Paul and Barnabas, to do what? To relay the decision, Acts 16:4, that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem, okay? It was, the Bible does not, the New Testament does not support the idea that the elders and the apostles among the entire church were debating and discussing together and came to what's called an elder-led consensus, okay? What happened, according to the scriptures, is that the apostles and elders were together because why were the apostles and the elders the ones to make that decision? Why would it be the apostles and the elders coming together to decide this weighty matter for the future of the New Testament church? Well, you see this handing off of authority, okay? We see from the beginning divinely inspired apostles taking the gospel and taking God's word to the brethren in the New Testament church. And we see this authority being handed off from the apostles to the elders. Okay? And we see from the beginning that the elders are, in fact, a distinct and separate group among the church. Now, we're going to talk about that distinct and separate group. That does not, you know, don't hear me say that they are holier, higher, elevated. You know, we're going to get to the quality of the eldership in just a minute, but we cannot deny that as we read through and study what was going on in the New Testament church in the first century, that the elders were there for a reason, and they were tasked as a decision-making, governing body of people in the New Testament church, okay? And even as we continue, Acts 20 and verse 17, now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called, the he being Paul, by the way, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. Why? If the elders are just, you know, people that are basically moderators, because if you're trying to lead or gain a consensus among a group of people, then basically all you are is a moderator. If the elders are nothing more than moderators, then why was it so important for Paul to meet with them? Well, why did Paul meet? Why did Paul call the elders? Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So if you'll accept my poor paraphrase, Paul says, hey, I need to meet with you. Why do you need to meet with us, Paul? Because I need you to do this. I need you to pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock, and I need you to act that way because you are overseers. Now, a little more Greek. The Greek word for overseer there is episkopos, okay, which is a superintendent, an overseer, a man charged with the duty of seeing that things to be done by others are done rightly, okay? So what we have here is Paul calling the group of presbyteros and reminding them to episkopos. I know that that is not correct Greek grammar, so bear with me, okay? But we see the idea, we see the goal, and we see the charge that the elders were given in the New Testament. Acts 21 verse 18, on the following day when Paul went in with us, James, and all the elders were present. Again, calling this specific group of men because decisions had to be made or relayed about how the church was to function in its infancy. Acts 21, 25. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment. This is the same context, okay? The same conversation, if you will. With our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. Okay? So, from the beginning, a distinct, separate group within the church involved with the apostles directly, okay? We see that transferring or that transition of authority, okay, involved with the apostles in the decision making and governing process of the first century church. So, to the first question, was the Jerusalem meeting a result of elder led consensus, or was it a result of the apostles and the elders making a decision and as a governing body? And for us, an example of that transmission or that transition of apostolic authority to the authority of the eldership. I think it's obvious that the New Testament teaches that it was not, in fact, elder-led consensus. It was not that the elders just became moderators to lead everyone to a specific decision. Okay? But we don't even have to stop there. If we're curious about how the Lord wants His church organized, how the Lord wants His church structured, We can look in Titus 1:5. This is why I left you in Crete. Why did you leave me in Crete, Paul? Why am I here? So that you may put what remained into order. Well, what does that involve? That involves appointing elders in every town as I directed you. There again, that Greek word presbyteros, okay? As he's going, well, what does that mean? Well, for an overseer, episkopos, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain. So what we see here, I'm not going to tell you that presbyteros and episkopos are necessarily interchangeable, okay? But what we have, as we read through this, okay, he was to appoint elders because an overseer is supposed to do these things. So while the words aren't necessarily interchangeable, Paul absolutely equates the two, because what is a presbyter to do? A presbyter is to episcopeo, okay? An elder is to be an overseer. And remember the definition for episkopos, that superintendent, one who is in charge of making sure something to be done by someone else is done in the right way, okay? Now, continuing on, James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, not necessarily saying that this is a designation of authority, but even still, outside of the book of Acts, in the continued letters that we have, we continue to see the elders as a separate group of people. Okay? Now, or a separate group of in the church. 1 Peter 5:1-2. Okay, so I exhort the elders, again, presbyteros, among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. So, what is it to exhort? It's to encourage, it's to challenge, right? Okay, I exhort the elders. I'm telling the elders that this is what they need to do. What are the elders supposed to do? What am I exhorting them to do? I'm exhorting them to exercise oversight. How can they exercise oversight if they're merely good examples for people to follow? Should the elders be good examples? Absolutely. Okay. Please don't miss the fact that we have the qualifications for elders very clear in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Okay. They are absolutely to be good examples, but their influence and their authority is in no way limited to just being a good example. Okay. So presbyters have the authority to exercise oversight. Presbyteros has the authority to episcopeo. Okay? So 1 Peter 5:3. This is another favorite go-to verse. Okay? Because we just got done reading. So 1 Peter 5:3 is the continuation. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That's how the ESV renders it. The New King James renders it, nor as being lords over. Obviously this does not limit the role of the elder to only be an example. This defines how the elder is to exercise his oversight. And I think that's important for us to understand, because those that believe that elders are merely to be good examples, they will point to this verse and call up this verse very, very quickly to say, well, see, the elders are not supposed to be lording over you. So all the decisions that they are making and are binding on you, they're doing that out of their own personal authority and not authority given to them by the New Testament. Okay, so what the result of that, or the consequence of that, is, well, the elders really can't enforce their authority on anything for any reason. Okay, so, for example, you say, well, and this is certainly a topic for another time, but the question comes up, well, do I have to attend Wednesday night Bible study? Well, this is when the elders have decided that this body, as a family, will meet for midweek Bible study. Well, they don't have the right to do that. They should be just good examples. They absolutely have that right, based on their authority given to them by the New Testament. Okay, but all of this is born out of a rejection of authority, okay? And we're gonna get there in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this idea of lording over, not domineering over, it does mean what it says. Okay? I'm not gonna tell you that, oh, well, that's not what that means. It absolutely means that the elders are not to domineer, that the elders are not to lord over us. But really, what does that mean? When you think of domineering or lording over, now, put yourself in the position as the parent. Okay, I'm sure that there are times that my kids think that I'm domineering or that I'm lording over them. I'm not going to look at them because I don't want to embarrass them any more than I already have just now. But it is my responsibility, as their parent to manage my authority appropriately and not to abuse my authority so that I make decisions that are for my benefit or just for my pleasure or whatever. The same way the elders have the authority to make the decisions, but they also bear the responsibility of shepherding and feeding the flock appropriately because of those decisions. That's what we're talking about here. Okay? This caution to the elders to not be domineering or to not lord over is not a restraint of, well, they can't make any decisions on behalf of the flock. It's just the quality of their decision making, the quality of their integrity about why they're making the decisions that they're making. Okay. It's just a qualifier. Okay. But it in no way inhibits the fact that they are an authority and a decision making body within the church. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Okay? Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Again, Are we to be humble toward one another? Yes. Does that mean that the elders are not allowed or do not have the authority to make a decision that affects me or to make a decision that I need to abide by? Okay. What that means is, again, this doesn't change any authority given to the eldership by the New Testament. Okay, but we also have to understand and realize, and I think every one of our elders realizes this as an individual, and they realize this as an eldership, that we are still accountable to one another. One of the things I love about our eldership is how they speak regularly about their understanding that they know that they are subject to one another. Okay, that one of them is still subject to the others as their elders. Okay, and as their eldership. Okay, and we are accountable to each other. I have no doubt that if I was having an issue, that if I was involved in some sin or if I was making some decision that was contrary to a faithful Christian life, I have no doubt that one of them would come to me and talk to me about that and try to correct it for the sake of my soul. I also know and have no doubt that if the situation was reversed, that I would have every right and responsibility to go to them and say, hey, brother, I don't think this is what you need to be doing. Okay? Just because they're an elder does not mean that they aren't still accountable to one another, just like we all are in the church. However, just because we are accountable to one another does not mean that the eldership doesn't have authority that I don't have. The elders are absolutely to be good examples, but they are not to be limited to just being a good example and just hoping that people follow that example. Now, another reason that I wanted to speak about this is, let me tell you a band director story. Most of you know that I teach band, and I promise it's a short band director story. Not all of them are, but this one is. It's my job to encourage my students to practice. It's my job to encourage my students to think that band is the most important thing they do at school, at least. I tell people all the time that I want, as far as their school goes, that when someone asks them, where do you go to school? I go to James Columbus High School. Oh, what do you do? I'm in the band. Okay. Reflexive answer. I want that to be their personality. I want that to be their identity within school. Okay. So when I talk to students about take your instrument home and practice, you need to do this, you need to do this, this, it's very easy for a student to say, well, yeah, he's supposed to say that. He's the band director. Matter of fact, he gets paid to say that. I get paid to tell people to go home and take your horn home and practice. I get paid to tell students to think that band is the most important thing they're going to do all day. It's easy for someone to say, well, yeah, you're supposed to say that. I asked to share this information and to share this study because humbly, I believe that if Glenn were to stand here and say this, maybe not even somebody in this room, but somebody somewhere would have a possibility of saying, well, yeah, it's easy for him to say, right? He's getting paid by the elders to say that, right? Same thing if one of the elders stood up and shared this information with you, okay? Same exact information, not changing it a bit. It's easy to say, well, he's an elder. He has a vested interest in his status in the church to bring this information, okay? I asked to give this because I think it's important for all of us to be able to defend why we do what we do. Not just because this is the way it's been done, not just because this is the, you know, westernized, Americanized, 21st century model, that this is our absolute heartfelt best effort to be the church that you read about in the New Testament. Okay? And if there's anything that we're getting wrong, we're going to study and we're going to fix it. Okay? But it's clear when we really study the role of elders, how they functioned, what they were called to be, what their role was, it's clear that we see that in order for a church to be organized the way God wants it to be organized, remember Titus 1:5, what was his charge? What was Paul's charge to Titus? To put things in order. And that involved appointing elders in every town. So as we go through this, does submitting to one another mean that the elders have no more authority than anyone else? No, it means that we should be all be willing to defer to one another and be accountable to one another. So Just to recap the questions that we had to answer, the decision reached at the Jerusalem meeting was not arrived by elder-led consensus, and while they should indeed be good examples, elders absolutely have the authority to exercise oversight of the brethren in their charge. Okay, we cannot miss that because, again, what I mentioned earlier, this whole argument is born out of a rejection of authority. Okay, when we talk about the postmodernism or the millennial way of thinking, and like I said, when I use that term, I don't think about a person of a certain age. I think about just a way of thinking, okay, which is not limited to how old you are. This idea is really born out of I'm going to reject any authority that I do not come up with on my own. Okay, you can't tell me what I'm going to believe. I'm going to decide what I'm going to believe. I'm going to decide what I'm is right. I'm going to decide what's right. And if I decide what's right, it's right for me, and it doesn't have to be right for you. Okay, and all of this is just a result of a rejection of the authority of God's word. They won't say that. People that subscribe to this idea won't tell you that. But if you really, really listen to what they're saying, it's I do not want to submit in any way to another person, whether the Bible says that person has the authority or not. Okay? And that is a very, very dangerous way of thinking, and it's a dangerous philosophy that cannot be tolerated. And that's why I think this is important, because when it comes up, say, well, you know, yeah, maybe that's right. Maybe the elders do make too many decisions that aren't theirs to make, and maybe we should just all get together and just kind of come up with our own plan. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, okay? The Jerusalem meeting was not everybody getting together and say, hey, what do you think about this? Well, we'll just come up with something, okay? We have to submit to the authority of the New Testament, okay? Now, we see that the rejection of that authority obviously has some pretty negative consequences. If we cannot learn that, then our soul is in danger. Why do you think that when we read through the list of really bad sins, that disobedient to parents is regularly one of them? Okay? And it's about learning authority. It's about learning to be submissive to authority. If we cannot learn to submit to the authority of a parent that we can see, how in the world can we learn to submit to an authority of a God that we can't see? Okay? So what I'm asking now is, are we submitting to the authority of the New Testament? Are we submitting in every way to what God's ideal for the church is? What God's ideal for our own lives is? Because if we're not, our souls are in danger. Okay? So when we talk about what all of this means, it really comes down to, are we doing what God wants us to do? Okay? Are we submitting? Are we being submissive to the will of God? Not just in our church organization, not just in our practices as a church family, but as an individual, are we submissive to God's will for our lives? If there is anyone here that has realized tonight, you know what? I have rejected God's authority. I have not submitted myself to God's authority. I need to do that, because if I don't, I'm going to be lost, and I am lost. If you realize tonight that it's time for you to submit to God's authority, everything can happen. Everything is prepared tonight. Okay? We know what the Bible says. We know that God is God. We know that Jesus Christ is His Son, that He came to die for us, was raised again so that we can have that hope of heaven. Okay? If you have realized that tonight, please, please, please take the opportunity now as we offer the Lord's invitation. Or if there is someone here that has done that but realized you have strayed away, you have gotten away and out from under the authority of God and His Word, make it right. We're not guaranteed anything. We're not guaranteed anything beyond this moment right now.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.